There's a man who lived a while ago. His name was Charles Staple Colt. He's known as Blessed Charles these days. His life is a long search for meaning and purpose. He's born in France. He was orphaned at the age of 6. He was taken in by his grandfather, who raised him, he and his younger sister. And as a young man, he slowly drifted away from his faith after receiving his first communion and confirmation at the age of 14. He sought worldly pleasures. He kind of went looking for what the world could offer. At a fairly young age, I think he was 20 years or so old, his grandfather passed, leaving him the inheritance. He joined the military, and while he was in the military serving over in Algeria, which is in northern Africa, he had a mistress, and so he's kind of living this life of kind of looking for self-fulfillment. But while he was serving in the military, he, on his missions over there in Africa, he observed many Jews and Muslims who were living their faith, and he was inspired by that. And when he eventually returned home to France, he started looking back into his Catholic faith, trying to maybe kind of rekindle this idea of living as a follower of God. Eventually, he started kind of looking in a more intentional way. He joined the Trappists, which is a religious order of monks. He served as a lay brother. And after a time with them, he decided that wasn't what he was called to do. He went and served as a servant for a group of sisters in a convent in Jerusalem. Eventually, he returned back to France and was ordained a priest. And then he decided to go back to Algeria to try to work among the people there. And he intended to start a religious vocation or a religious congregation, but nobody wanted to join him, so that didn't work out either. So he was serving among these people for 10 years as a missionary, and to his knowledge, he didn't have a single convert those whole 10 years serving in this country. So again, not a lot of success. Eventually, during World War I, he was living still in Algeria, and there was these Arab renegades who were kind of going around and attacking the French civilians. Algeria was a French colony at the time. And he was killed by these marauders just kind of randomly one day. So we can look at his life and say, what gives? Not very successful, huh? You tried everything, and what do we see from it? We can ask the question, what makes a life fruitful? What makes a life worth living? And I wonder how God looks at his life. What makes for a good life? What makes for a life that is worth living? These are good questions for us to ponder. How must one live to accomplish, in the eyes of the world or in our own eyes, what is a good life? How do we measure a person's life? How do we measure success or failure when it comes to a life? For someone who does a lot of funerals, you see people trying to do that on the funeral day, and there's no way to do it. There's no way to capture someone's life in a few moments. How do you answer this question for yourself? How do you answer that question of what am I hoping to accomplish in my life? Have you answered that question for yourself? What is it that you want to accomplish? What do you hope that your life will look like? How will it play out? Have you stopped to consider what dreams and hopes you have? So much depends on what it is that we're seeking, right? If we seek a certain thing, it leads us down a road, searching and searching for that thing. What is important to you? Jesus today gives us this image to contemplate, the image of the grain of wheat. It's always struck me as a very fitting image for the Christian life. If you consider the universal church as a field of wheat growing, you might think of each parish or each group of Christians representing a single stalk of wheat. Each stalk of wheat, of course, has a bunch of grains on it. What rides upon this single life? The single grain of wheat. The potential there, this single grain of wheat has great potential to bring forth life, not just life now, but generations of life, right? If we think about our own ancestors who have gone before us, how many of them are close to not existing, right? And that we weren't going to exist either. So it's something to ponder. What do I hope to get out of my life? What do I hope to accomplish? To be fruitful. To be fruitful, the grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die. There are many perils and much that could occur to thwart this planting of the seed, the grain of wheat. It's so fragile, so vulnerable. And yet there it is. So much hope rests in this one grain of wheat. In the same way, each person's life here, every one of us, your life is precious in the eyes of God. He tenderly pours himself out, desiring that you will make the same choice to follow the path that Jesus lived. If we resist this path of self-sacrifice and dying to ourselves, it will lead to a barren life. Only by following the path of our Lord can we bring forth the fruit that we are meant to do. As we heard, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. This is one of the great dramas of our lives. Will we follow the path of Jesus? Will we follow this path of surrender to the will of the Father? The path of the cross. The path to fruitful life. Fruitful in the only sense that matters. No earthly accomplishments will be remembered in heaven unless they glorify God. Only those that glorify God will be remembered. No human activity apart from the cooperation with God will ever amount to anything worth remembering. Only by going the way which God offers to us can we find what it truly means to be fruitful and what truly matters in our lives. It's a great privilege for us to be able to walk this path, to become that grain of wheat that grows, matures, and then follows the fate which God has given it. It requires a lot of faith to let go. It takes hope to pass through the death to self. It takes charity to remain fixed on the Lord throughout this process of dying to ourselves. Jesus' words might help us to find the courage to take that step of radical trust in the Father's providential care for us. He says, speaking of the cross that he sees ahead of him, I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour, but it is for this purpose that I came to this hour. So Jesus saw the cross. He saw the cross before him. That was his death to self, surrender to the will of the Father, and he accepted it. A life that is sincerely given to the Father and his will inevitably bring forth fruit. The more radically we surrender to the will of God and cooperate with his grace, the more fruitful the harvest will be. This is true across any vocation, all times, all ages, for men and women. We should be careful not to measure the success by the standards of the world. For who can know the mind of God or unveil his purpose? We cannot penetrate the hidden mystery of what God seeks to bring about in each one of us. It is a mystery to us. But Jesus is calling us. He will not hurt us. He will not hurt us. He will not try to thwart us in our desires. He will not allow us to waste our lives. If we give our lives to him, that sacrifice will not be wasted. So we stand before God today with whatever life is ahead of you, whether it's days or months or years, none of us knows. If you give it to God, it will become a beautiful creation, a beautiful offering. If you deny this to the Lord or fearfully hold back out of fear of what you might lose, you are already missing out on what could be. The Lord will always wait for you. He will always wait for you to say yes, to accept this process of transformation of the grain of wheat into the stalk of wheat. I urge you not to delay it. To delay or withhold your consent or your cooperation will only lead to an anxious searching and disappointment. And finally, it will lead to a sterile, withered life if we always and forever say no to the Lord. A life spent in pursuit of God will never be wasted. Whether you do it in the convent, like St. Teresa, or as a mother, like St. Gianna, you can do it like St. Charles that we heard about today, or Blessed Charles as he's known right now, wandering and searching and looking his whole life. You can do it like St. Ignatius, who brought about a great reform in the church. You can do it with a charism like St. Teresa of Avila, who renewed her own order and brought great mystical knowledge to the church. Or a quiet, hidden life like St. Joseph or St. Josephine Bokita. There are many paths to holiness. There are many paths to that grain of wheat dying to self and becoming what it's meant to be. There are many men and women ahead of us who have gone ahead of us, who have lived holy lives so that we might come to know and be aware of the Christian religion. It takes but a single group, a single generation of godless people to stifle the passing on of the faith. However, in the hands of God, a single life can bear almost countless fruit, as we see in the lives of the saints. The priest, St. John Vianney, used to pray this prayer for his parishioners, saying these words: "My God, grant me the conversion of my parish. I am willing to suffer all my life, whatever it may please you to lay upon me. Yes, even for 100 years, I am prepared to endure the sharpest pains. Only let my people be converted." I readily admit I can't sincerely pray that prayer fully yet. I hope that someday I can, but it is a prayer that captures my sentiments, my hopes for you. Yes, my love must be purified. I, like you, must keep asking for that deeper conversion, that deeper ongoing conversion, that surrender to the will of the Father, so that the fruit may come. Blessed Lord, hold dear those whose names you can read in my heart. Watch over them with every care. Make their way easy and their labors fruitful. Dry their tears if they weep. Sanctify their joys. Raise their courage if they weaken. Restore their hope if they err. And grant them repentance if they fall. Amen.